Well, God bless you, each and every one of you that are watching from the Oakville Prayer Breakfast. What a joy and a privilege it is to just be before you for a few moments. My name is Cheryl Nemhard, and I'm just so thankful for all of you that have gathered to pray, to reflect, to sit in community and continue to grow and be challenged in our faith, in being better citizens, in finding ways to help uplift the city of Oakville. That is such a blessing. You are such a blessing. I'm so thankful for all of you. Well, you know, when I think about this season, I have to admit, I've got a confession to make. I'm a bit of a Christmas nut. Are you? I am absolutely obsessed with the season of Christmas. I'm laughing because there's about three things I want to share, but I do not want to confess my obsession just yet. Let's just say that a certain person right after Halloween, November 1st, switches into Christmas gear. Is there anyone like me that cannot wait to start playing the music and watching the films and putting up Christmas lights and just beginning to get into that Christmas cheer? I don't know what it is. Since I was a kid, there is something so special about this time. And I was sitting just for a few moments thinking like what I wanted to share with you from my heart. And the two words that kept coming up to me around this season are love and light. And I think about love because if we're honest with ourselves, I think Christmas is one of those rare times that we're a little extra nicer, we're a little bit kinder, there's more love in the air, more smiles one to the other. There's something heartwarming as the days approach to the Christmas season. And I also think about lights. I think about, oh my goodness, growing up, I was fascinated with Christmas lights. And I don't know about you, but having a family of my own, they're all adults now. But when they were little, I would pack them in the car and for like just as an activity, almost every week, we would drive for hours and look at that lights on houses and go to parks and just see all the Christmas lights. There was something just so wonderful about watching all of that. And it reminded me how that illumination of light draws our attention. It calls to us almost. We look and find these places that are so beautifully lit for Christmas. And you know, in this beautiful invitational type of way, that is the life that God's called us to be. To be light, to be that beautiful light illuminating in the darkness. And what are we illuminating? What are we spreading as we glow, if you will? Well, it's the love of God. We are extending and sharing the love of God to those in a broken, hurting, dark world. If we're honest with ourselves, my friends, I would say when I look at 2020, 2021, it's twin sister, twin brother. I don't think we've ever been in a darker, heavier, more polarizing, more conflicting time as we've been. It truly is overwhelming, isn't it? And in some instances, for so many of us, it has been discouraging. It has been draining. It has felt like an uphill battle. So many people dying on hills and camps and fighting and infighting and parties and separation and distrust and fear and all the things. But I am a firm believer that it is the love of God. It is sharing the love of God. It is being the love that God pours in our hearts and reflecting his heart, that is what heals. That is what mends, that is what unites across all dividing lines. It seems simple, but it's what God has called us to do and to be. You know, I think about light and I think about those in darkness. You know, whenever I get to speak to at-risk youth, marginalized kids, young pregnant moms, ex-drug addicts, gang members, all of my tribe, I always have this beautiful, wonderful moment where we can shut off all the lights and I just flick a lighter and ask them if they can see it. And they say yes, no matter where they are, just for a moment. And then we turn the lights on. And I say, isn't it powerful that such a little light can be seen in a room this big that's so dark? That is the power of love. That is the power of sharing the love of God to someone else. That is what we are commissioned to do. Can I be honest with you? It was love that changed my life. It was love that pursued me, that healed my broken heart, that literally renovated me from the inside out. And I will say, and this is so important to hang on to, that in my defining moment, which ironically was just around this time, literally it was just weeks before Christmas that my life changed forever as a 19-year-old. But it wasn't scripture. It wasn't a good sermon at first. It wasn't a prayer at first. It was an urban missionary filled to the brim with the love of God, who simply, quietly, unendingly loved on me and loved me until the hardness, the cemented walls of my heart melted and became soft again. It was love. I didn't even know what he believed. I had a sense, but I didn't even know, because he put the person of Cheryl over the position of denomination and religion. He saw a soul that needed love first before it needed saving. Huge, huge. And I feel like God is challenging us in this area. You know, I think about the verse in Matthew that says that we are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. It's like that lighter. Just that tiny spark of light can illuminate so much. And I call that being a lighthouse. I have this phrase where I call you and I that we're called to be lighthouses. Follow me for a minute. So imagine that lighthouse structure, right? Grounded, firm, stable, sometimes elevated, lifted up on a rock, if you will, or on some sort of high cliff. And its job, well, it's to illuminate light to all those that are journeying, all those that are traveling, those that are facing the storms of the sea and the storms of life, if you will, and helping them to find safe passage, helping them, in other words, to navigate the storms of their lives without crashing on the rocks. That's you and I. We are called to be lighthouses in dark times. So in these moments, I always say, this that we're seeing now, as much as we want to curl into a corner and just say, ugh, I throw up my hands, I'm done. What a beautiful opportunity. What an amazing moment. What an invitation that Jesus is giving you and I to not shrink back, but to lean in, to love harder, to love intentionally, and to love across all dividing lines. You know, so many things can obstruct the light of a lighthouse. And if you and I are a lighthouse, using that example, there's so many things that can block our giving of pure, unfiltered joy, love, peace, hope of God. Religion can do that. Sometimes we can get caught up in that and all of the fine details around denominationalism and lines, and racism can do that. You know, our thoughts on immigrants can do that. You know, brokenness can do that. Carrying past wounds and angers can, you know, do that. The way we see the world, if it's distorted, can do that. And all of these things can come in the way, but it's not the love that God is calling us to. I'm reminded in Luke, so beautiful, that the lawyer meets Jesus. And he says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Basically, what do I need to do to make it in? That's all of us. What do we need to do, God, to make it in? And Jesus says, you're a lawyer. You know the law. You tell me. And he says, okay, well, the Bible says, you know, the law says, love the Lord, your God, with all your mind, all your heart, your soul, your being, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, I love it. What a beautiful teacher, answering a question with a question. Shout out to all the teachers out there. And he says, that's great. That's perfect. Do that. Do that. And you will inherit eternity. Well, the next moment I think about the lawyer, and I have to be honest, that is so many of us. The lawyer's like, okay, let me run through the checklist. Love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind. That's great. Do church. Do all the things that look like Christianity, things that feel like I'm going to gain favor with God. Check, 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 check. And love my neighbor as myself. Whoa. What do you mean by that? Who is my neighbor? And that is not as simple a question as you think. It was actually a trick question. It was very loaded. In other words, if I can paraphrase, like who is worthy of my love? Who do you want me to love again? The lawyer is all of us. You know, we want to love who we know. We want to love who we're comfortable with. We want to love the people that we want to love. But the truth is, when the question goes out, who is my neighbor? The answer comes back, and it's a resounding everyone. Everyone is our neighbor. We are called to love everyone. And I am so glad that this time, many years ago, when I was 19 years old, that a young man filled with the love and compassion of God, who was called to love those that were so-called unlovable, those that lived on the streets, the marginalized, saw me and loved me with the love of God. You see, I was broken. I was shattered. I was hurting. I was angry. I was wounded to the core. But I didn't live that way by choice, and I didn't start off that way. Like so many at-risk youth, so many that live on the streets, we were dropped. Our brokenness was because we were dropped and shattered into a million pieces. Some of us at a young age, a tender age. And so many of us in our lives, you'll see so many just trying to put the pieces of that shatteredness back in their adult life together again. For me, a young woman sexually abused from a child from the age of 5, unfortunately at the hands of a Sunday school teacher. And so imagine now, someone who is looking to the church for protection and for love and care being abused at the hands of those who were supposed to represent love, the love of God. And that is so true for so many. When I speak to at-risk youth, when I'm talking to those on the street, speaking to ex-gang members, that is the number one thing that they share. I was hurt. I was wounded. I'm angry at the church because, and it is always around the way they were treated. No one talks about how great a verse was. No one talks about how great a sermon was. They talk about how they were treated by the church and how it affected them and impacted their life negatively. I feel like there's a lesson there. I feel like God is saying something to you and I there. The way we love literally is a reflection of who we serve. And it should be a true reflection. If the kingdom of God had a business card, it would be love. You know, the way in which we love one another, love your neighbor as yourself, love one another as I have loved you, Jesus said. Yeah, you know, I think about that young man, Chris is his name, who for 3 months loved me unconditionally, didn't see skin color, didn't see social status, didn't look at the crimes I had committed because I had been in a gang, didn't look at any of those things, but saw a soul that needed to be loved, not a soul that needed to be saved first. And for 3 months, I didn't hear a verse. I need you to hear that. For 3 months, I didn't hear a sermon. I want to challenge your thinking around evangelism as well while I'm here. Might as well while I'm here. He loved on me. He loved on me. I'm reminded of the Samaritan. He just saw my brokenness and my woundedness, and he tended to my wounds, period. You know, when I was young, I realized a quick equation growing up, and it's one that I see in every broken, shattered youth that I minister to. Those who are wounded, deeply hurt, that hurt left unresolved, unhealed, unprocessed, unworked through, over time morphs into anger. And maybe even you have felt this way at some point in your life, or are still working through some of these issues as well. And those who are angry, angry at how life has treated them, angry at how the world has dealt cards for them, angry at what they've experienced in their childhood, left unresolved, left unhealed, left unworked through, morphs over time into bitterness and forms seeds of bitterness in our heart. And at 13, I was a bitter, angry young girl. And I made a very hard, damaging choice. I joined a gang. And from 13 to 16, I was with this gang, and I joined this gang not because I was rebellious, not because I was crime motivated, not because I was a bad seed, because I was broken, because I wanted family. I was raised by a single mom, no father, no siblings, nothing, only child. And gangs felt like family. Please hear me. I joined a gang because I wanted community. I felt unloved, unaccepted, and I wanted the acceptance, and I found it in that gang. And why am I leaning into that so heavily? Maybe God is calling you in this moment to shift your thinking, to see demographics differently, to see groups differently, and to know that any angry, wounded teen you see, if you can scrape all of that off and get to the root of it, they're really hurt. They're really broken. They've been shattered by some instance or situation. And at the age of 16, I ran away after a sexual assault from some members of the gang that turned on me. And for 3 years, I was on and off the street. And I was so broken. I began a spiral into even darker moments of my life where I didn't care whether I lived or died. I was self-harming. I had suicidal thoughts. I was doing drugs just to numb out the pain because that was escapism. And I wanted nothing to do with anything or anyone. And I barely wanted to live. And this young man loved me. And that love melted every cement that I had put up around my heart. Every hardness of my heart melted because he showed the love of God. You know, when we ask who is our neighbor, we know that the answer is everyone. I want to encourage you right now, even as I'm talking, to hear this thought and just take it in. We who are followers, we who have the love of God, must be known as a people of compassion. Yeah, we must lead from a place of compassion. We must be compassionate in the way we speak and treat and live with one another. In light of the issues of the day, we need to step out of our comfort zones and love across dividing lines. Love those that don't look like us. When we see someone hungry, we need to feed them. Thirsty, we need to give them drink. You know, we need to check in with those that are failing and falling and spiraling. And even in your own life, think about those in your family, those in your world that are crumbling, that are hit hard in this season. Are there ways that you can love them intentionally? Are there things that even God's stirring up that you can do in big or small ways to show the love of God, to punch some light into their darkness? You know, the truth is that being a good neighbor means that we're not just called to love, but we're called to also stand alongside, to speak for those that don't have a voice, to advocate for those who need advocating, to bring justice where there's injustice. And it may look different in different seasons, but I believe that God is calling us to be more intentional in the way we love. It's not good enough anymore to just have a great Sunday service. It's not good enough anymore to just be a good Christian. We need to step out. We need to love. We need to be God's hands extended in a time where people are hurting the most. I just want to encourage you to love those that don't look like you, to love those that may not believe what you believe, to love those that may not stand for what you stand for. Because that's when love is truly tested. It's not really love when we're not tested in that muscle. If we're just loving people that look like us, loving people that say what we say, go where we go, believe what we believe, that's love in part. 2021 is calling us to love outside of our comfort zone. Yeah. And I encourage you to be that lighthouse, to be love extended. I encourage you in this season to think about ways in your local community to help those in need and to also remember those who are doing the hard, tough work of street ministry. They are the unsung heroes. I am a product of someone who did not give up on me. You know, my friends, from our brothers and sisters in the BIPOC community, those of color, those in the Indigenous First Nations community, our brothers and sisters there, those in the LGBTQ plus community, those that don't believe what we believe, of different religions, of no religion, of all walks of life. The simple, powerful truth is that God loves them, they matter to him, and Jesus died for them as well. And if they matter to God, they need to matter to us. And if he loves them, we need to love them as well. This season, I pray that each and every one of us redefine love, not only for ourselves, but for us as believers, that we really examine and redefine what it means practically day in and day out. To those that we walk past and have walked past, to those that we have labeled wrongly, perhaps, to those that we don't give time to. Our greatest identifier is not how well we preach. It's not how many verses we've memorized. It's not how many Sundays we've spent in the house of God. Our greatest identifier, the one that matters, the one that will be measured, the one that is connected to eternal life, is how well we have loved one another. My prayer for you is that you be love and light to those in this troubling, dark time. Shine on. Shine, my friends. Shine for God. God bless you.